folks, I'm Sydney, and welcome to Guilt of Existence, a podcast geared toward finding peace on our dying planet. If you've ever thought about your impact on the environment and felt kind of guilty about it, today's episode might be up your alley. The focus is on existential environmental guilt, but what does that even mean? Existential environmental guilt, or EEG, is a term I kind of came up with after having a particularly hard morning. I was on my way to work and the driver of the car in front of me threw a cigarette out of their window. While I thought about punching the gas, rear-ending them, and totaling their stupid Chrysler, I didn't do any of that. I just cried. Bawled, actually, but now, I don't usually cry over every piece of litter I see, but at that moment, I just felt so angry and overwhelmed. I also found myself feeling guilty. Guilty for being part of the species that is causing so much harm to our planet. So let's break down EEG piece by piece. If something is existential, that means it has to do with our existence. Now, I know, I hate when people use the word in its own definition, so we could also define the word existential as having a being in time and space. Environmental, in this case, we'll define as having relation to our natural world, plants, animals, ecosystems, stuff like that. Guilt is a feeling of deserving blame. So, putting all of that together, if you have existential environmental guilt, you feel like your mere being deserves to be blamed for the state of our natural world. Now I'm going to say that again. If you have existential environmental guilt, you feel like your mere being deserves to be blamed for the state of our natural world. Now, it's important to note that I'm probably not the only person to use this term. However, in my research for this episode, I didn't find anything using that exact same terminology. I did find stuff on eco-anxiety and ecological environmental dread. However, guilt and dread are not the same thing. As mentioned earlier, guilt is a feeling of deserving blame, whereas dread has more to do with anticipating that something terrible is going to happen. With that being said, if you find any information on existential environmental guilt specifically, please send it my way. I'll make sure to give proper credit and all of that good stuff, and I'm interested to see what other people might have to say about it. Now, if you've ever experienced EEG, you may have thought to yourself, why do I feel guilty, but others don't? And if you haven't, let me tell you, it is such a frustrating feeling. As someone who cares about the environment, I do what I can to limit my impact. But at the same time, I realize that I could be doing so much more. The thing is, while I'm over here feeling guilty for buying a tomato from Walmart instead of just growing one myself, there are still people out there who throw cigarettes on the ground and don't think twice about it. So let's start with why we feel guilty and leave others out of the equation for a moment. Kim Pong Tam, who is a researcher and professor at the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, wrote an article called Anthropomorphism of Nature, Environmental Guilt, and Pro-Environmental Behavior. In this article, which I will link in the description or somewhere, it discusses why some humans feel guilty about environmental problems. He explains that one reason why people may feel guilty is because, well, they're influenced to feel that way. And when someone is made to feel guilty, this often leads to some sort of action to remediate the guilt. Think of those ASPCA commercials. They show a poor little dog shivering in the snow, and then they ask you to send money. Maybe you do just that. Maybe you make a donation to your local shelter, or maybe you just hug your pet a little bit tighter that day. One way or another, it's very possible that that commercial caused you to take some type of action. Maybe not a totally environmental example here, but I think it gets the point across. Tam then goes on to explain that another reason why folks feel guilty is due to the impact of these environmental problems on other people. He gives the examples of future generations or people in countries who are more directly impacted by things like climate change. In this case, Tam explains that guilt is an interpersonal issue, meaning that it's related to other people, other humans. Now, when I saw that loser throw their cigarette out of the window, I wasn't being made to feel guilty on purpose, and I wasn't really thinking about the impact on other humans. I was thinking about the birds that could eat it, or if it got washed into a nearby stream and a fish ate it. So in that situation, I don't think this guilt was caused by an interpersonal connection or was meant to be a call to action. Which leads us to Tam's third point, anthropomorphism of nature. I definitely had to look up what the heck anthropomorphism meant, and basically it's when we humanize non-human things. We give an object, like a car or an animal, human characteristics, traits, or emotions. You'll find this in many, many children's stories. Let's take the Three Little Pigs for example. While the story has been written over and over again, in the version I've seen, these pigs are wearing clothing, which is just not really accurate when you look at pigs in real life. You know, little do I know there's a pig listening to this right now who is like, excuse you, I love my Lululemon leggings. Anyways, so animals wearing clothing in stories is an example of anthropomorphism. In this story, they're also portrayed as hardworking pigs who are being harassed by the big bad wolf. Now, right off the bat, we are demonizing this poor wolf. These anthropomorphized pigs should be happy that this anthropomorphized wolf is just vandalizing their homes and not immediately ripping them apart limb from limb. The wolf is anthropomorphized because he's portrayed as being evil. Meanwhile, wolves in real life can't be evil. They're just wolves. They're trying to survive just like the rest of us. Now, there are other more positive stories that use anthropomorphism, like The Little Engine That Could. In the story, the train says, I think I can, I think I can, but trains can't talk or think. Now that we know what anthropomorphism is, let's get back to how it can be related to guilt. In a nutshell, Tam says that some people anthropomorphize nature, which can lead them to experience what is almost like an interpersonal connection with nature, as if it was human. So, to kind of reword that, some people attribute human feelings to nature, which makes nature seem human-like. Because it seems human-like, they can feel connected with it, as if it were another person. With that being said, of the three views Tam discusses, which are induced guilt, guilt caused by interpersonal connection, and guilt caused by anthropomorphism of nature, I think, at least in my own experience, EEG is most related to anthropomorphism. When I started reading the anthropomorphism portion of Tam's article, the word empathy came to mind, and as the article continued, he did remark on empathy a few times. Here's a direct quote from the article. It has been found that individuals who anthropomorphize nature exhibit empathy, an emotional reaction that is typically observed as a response to the suffering of other humans when they consider environmental degradation. Now, whenever I think of empathy, I think of Dr. Brené Brown, who is a researcher and professor at the University of Houston, among many, many other things, and her talk called The Power of Vulnerability. There is a beautifully animated short that focuses on a portion of her talk where she explains the difference between empathy and sympathy. I highly recommend you check out both Brené's full talk and the animated short, which I will link. But in a nutshell, empathy is the ability to put yourself in the shoes of someone or something else. EEG and empathy go hand in hand because I think they're both deeper than just feeling bad about something. There's a much more personal level to this. I think people who are empaths and anthropomorphize nature and people who experience existential environmental guilt are more likely to take steps to make a change, which can be excellent in a lot of cases. For example, if you see someone throw a cigarette on the ground, you may think about the bird that will come along and eat that cigarette, and you might think about how that bird may get sick, and you might empathize with that bird and how awful it must feel to be so sick, and how terrible it could be if that bird has babies, and what if it's too sick to take care of its babies, and oh, those poor babies, and how hungry they'll be. Now humans are basically murdering baby birds. And the list goes on. At the end of that long thought, you'll probably more likely to, one, never start smoking, and two, you might pick up any cigarettes you find on the ground. Both of which are excellent things to do. However, while anthropomorphism of nature can lead to positive changes, it's very important to differentiate what actions we think are helpful and what actions are actually helpful. For example, when someone sees a cute critter in their yard, they might be tempted to put out something for it to eat because, well, gosh, I like a snack once in a while. They probably do too. But at the end of the day, feeding wildlife can cause much more harm than good. So while we may think, aka anthropomorphize, that a critter needs a snack, it may not be true or helpful. Now, returning to the question, why do I feel guilty but others don't? I think we've kind of answered why we may feel guilty, but why don't other people? As environmentally minded people, it might be easy to think, well, it's just because they're absolute walnuts who are lazy and selfish and don't think about anyone but themselves. But it's never that simple. Some people believe that our natural world is here strictly for the benefit of humans. It's how they were raised. The earth is a resource for them to use. Others may not have had access to education that covered why protecting and respecting our natural resources is so important. And other people might have bigger fish to fry. They're worrying about where their next meal will come from. They're just trying to survive. Anyway, this podcast is supposed to be about finding peace on our dying planet. So let's talk about how we can do that when it comes to existential environmental guilt. While guilt is often viewed as a negative emotion, let that guilt guide you to an extent. Actually take time to reflect on why you feel this way. Are there steps you can take to help you feel less guilty? Maybe try writing these thoughts down, but at the very least acknowledge how you're feeling. It can be so easy for us to just keep bottling up our emotions, but one day that bottle is going to be full, and then the bottle explodes, and next thing you know, you find yourself rear-ending a stupid Chrysler on your way to work. Do yourself a favor and spend some time with your thoughts. Scary, I know, but seriously, try it. My favorite way to do this is first thing in the morning when I take my dog Cricket for a walk before work. You can do it whenever and wherever. However, I really encourage you to try it while outside. By spending time in nature, you're creating an opportunity to connect with our natural world. But be deliberate with this. I know sometimes it's so tempting to listen to music, but once in a while, I really encourage you to just be present. Now, in addition to that, something else you can try to help curb your EEG is to set some goals for yourself that will help you be better for our planet. It can be a small, short-term goal, like maybe picking up a piece of litter each day, or maybe something more long-term, like an actual lifestyle change. One thing I've been working on is minimizing my consumption of single-use packaging. Now, I am certainly not perfect, but I think I've made pretty good progress so far. I haven't used Saran Wrap for quite some time. I have an awesome reusable grocery bag, and I also have quite the collection of reused containers that I use to pack my lunch with. Of course, I haven't got to the point where I don't use any single-use packaging, but I'm proud of how my mindset has started to shift. When setting a goal, though, it's important to avoid the all-or-nothing attitude. Keep in mind that we were born on a dying planet. This is an inherited issue. And while it's important for us to take accountability and minimize our impact, don't beat yourself up for not being a perfect environmentalist. As much as I'd love to not generate any trash or any single-use packaging, it's just not feasible for me right now, and maybe it never will be, but I'm gonna keep trying to do my best. So, acknowledging how you're feeling, spending time in nature, and setting eco goals for yourself are just a few options to help you calm your existential environmental guilt. But even if you get nothing else out of this episode, understand that this burden is not yours to bear alone. The fact that you have this guilt shows that you're trying to take responsibility and make a change. You're taking a step in the right direction, no matter how big or small, and sometimes that's all you can do. All right, folks, that's all for this episode. Thank you so much for tuning into Guilt of Existence. I plan on releasing monthly episodes just to give myself enough time between work and life in general, but we'll kind of play it by ear. Thank you again, and hang in there, everybody.